richly glorify you.
Amen. 12 and 2. Romans 12 and 2.
Did they decorate the temple and stuff to celebrate this?
No. They had a... They feasted in the homes and they celebrated. They would go to the temple and everything also, but they celebrated by giving each other gifts and everything for 8 days. And we'll look at that again when we'll. I thought about putting that on tonight to begin with, but I was a little bit slow getting here tonight. All right, Romans 12 and 2. Now, we covered this a little bit last week, but not enough. There's too much in this verse to just look over it. And I told you last week, do not be assimilated into the world. Remember, that's where we have. Do not be assimilated into the world. Do not be conformed to this world. How does that start off? Who can read the first line? All right, Cindy, you want to lead everybody? Kai? May. A plus. All right, next line. Who wants to do that one? This is easier. All right. How about who can do that? Rebecca, can you start off that one? That's pretty easy.
What's the first word?
A toe.
Toe.
Ione. Tuto. Allah. Allah. All right, we got that one. All right, now here's the next one. This one's a little bit harder. Cindy, can you read that word? Oh, boy, that's good. That's A plus again. Metamorphouste. Te anakainouse. In the next line, all right, the next line is two, nous, ace, to, dokimazane, himas. Look at that, see that squiggly line over the top? What is that called? That makes it into an H. A rough breather. A rough breather. And then T, to, thelema, two, theu, to, Hagathon, Kai, Uras, Uraston, Kai, Teleon. Be ye not transformed, be ye not assimilated into the age. Age. That word is age. That's not world. What's it saying? King James, say world. What's it say there? Oh, you came without any book. Who has got King? Who's got the King's?
Conform to this world, be transformed.
Okay. All right. Okay. Be transformed. All right. Have you got it there, brother? You want to read the whole thing for me, please?
It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable.
All right, somebody go to 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. This is actually not world, but it's age. This is where we get our word dispensation from. The word dispensation comes from this ione. Ione. Dispensation. Who's got 2 Corinthians 4 and 4? A penny. All right. Do not be ye conformed to what? Or what does it say there in the very beginning? Yeah. Okay. But who is the God of this age? The God of this, not it's not world, it's age. Write down age. This dispensation. If anything goes wrong in this world today, it is not God's fault. I want you to understand, No little child that's born crippled or anything else, no sin in this world is God's fault. That no storm, no disease, nothing in this world is God's fault. In this age. In this age. All right. This age is Satan's age. You want to blame anybody? I've heard people say, well, I won't have anything to do with a God that allows little children to be die, killed and all this kind of stuff and disease and everything else. People say that. But they don't understand who the God of this age is. That's little God, not big God. But he is in control. When Jesus, in Matthew the 4th chapter, when Jesus was being tempted, what did Satan offer him the whole kingdoms of all this world? Now, was that a legitimate offer? Yeah, it was a legitimate offer. He had him in his hand. That's who it is, the God of this dispensation. This is hyper-Calvinist tape dispensationalism, okay? But we have eternity past, we have the age of innocence, or the dispensation of innocence, we have the dispensation of conscience, all right? That's do good and offer blood, sacrifice, and then we have the flood, and then we have the dispensation of human government, or what else is it called? The Noahic age, all right? And then we have the confusion of the language, and then we have the Mosaic age, or the age of promise. All right? Or Abrahamic age, that is, not Mosaic. And then the next one, we have the Egyptian bodies, and then we have the Mosaic age, or the age of the law. These are dispensations of time, different stewardships. Okay? Now, God's kingdom is in the world, or in this within this age. Remember I told you here a while back that God's kingdom is alive through His churches today? The churches are the administrators of the kingdom. I'm going to tell you what, if the true churches are administrators of God's kingdom, who are the administrators of Satan's kingdom? The false churches. And all demonic worship are the administrators of Satan's kingdom in the world today, in his age, this dispensation. All right? Be ye not conformed to the, or assimilated into this age, this dispensation, this. In Mark 4:19 and Matthew 12:32, Mark 4:19 and Matthew 12:32, and Luke 20:34, Ephesians 1:21 and Ephesians 6:12, Galatians 1 and 4 and 2 Timothy 4 and 10. Did you get any of them down? Somebody grab one of them. Are you over there, Rebecca, any place yet? Nope. Has anybody got any one of these? Mark 4 and 19. Mark 4 and 19. You over there, Bill? Mark?
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, boy. He's fast.
It says, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering into choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful.
Read that one more time.
And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful.
All right. Now, that's the cares of this age. Materialism. Did you know that even the working of a rich man, even his working is evil? That's right. Even his toiling, even his busying himself is evil. Because he's doing it for the wrong time. What reason? For the wrong reason. And that's what it says here of this age. Who's got Matthew 12:32? You over there yet? Anyone? Matthew 12:32? Who's got that? Rebecca, you have that one? No? Matthew 12:32? Cindy, you over there? Oh, okay, good. Matthew 12:32.
And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But whoever speaks against the Spirit, the Holy One, will not be forgiven, either in this world or age, or in the world and age to come.
All right. Not in this age, nor in the age to come, in the dispensation. That's what we're talking about. Okay? So we're not supposed to be transformed or assimilated into this age. We've got to be different. Okay, a lot got to be there. Luke 20:34, and then Galatians 1:4 and 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10. Ephesians 1 and 21 and 6 and 12. All right, any of Luke 20, 34. I've got even got a King James Bible back over there. All right, Corey.
And Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry, and are given in marriage.
All right, the children of this age marry, and are given in marriage. That's what he's talking about, of this age. All right. What's the whole subject there, Corey? Well, read it. Go back to how far it.
That was the seven brothers married.
Yeah. Go back up here now. Let's talk about it. Who's got that? The seven brothers that married the woman. And then she marries all seven. By the way, this is a joke. And just in case you don't know it, this was a joke that the Sadducees used all the time. Because the Sadducees what? They didn't believe any spirit, any resurrection or anything. No spirit world at all. And this was a joke that they would use. Now, read that again. Right there, and then read the next verse down below, Corey. Yeah,
And Jesus answered and said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage.
That's this age. Okay. Now go ahead.
35, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, either marry or are given in marriage.
All right, in the next age, the Mormons are going to be real disappointed. That's all I can say. A Mormonism is going to be really disappointed. Because there is no marrying in the next age. That's the end of it. The next world, that age that they're going into. This is the heavenly age. There's not going to be any marrying given in marriage there. All right, Galatians 1 and 4. Galatians 1 and 4. We're in Romans 12 and 2, but we're cross-reference the subject here in the different places. We're talking about Ionian. Age. All right. Who's got that one? Rebecca.
1 and 4, right?
Yes.
Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father.
All right, now through Jesus Christ, through his power, through his blood, we have power over the evil one in this age, don't we? We have power over the evil one in this age. All right, 2 Timothy 4 and 10. 2 Timothy 4 and 10. Who has that one? 2 Timothy 4 and 10. Who was over yonder? Rebecca. What? Demas. Jim is his name.
For Demas has forsaken me, having left his present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, pressing for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia.
All right, what happened? Yeah, what happened there is that Demas had forsaken Paul, being carried away by the cares of this age. Just exactly like what Paul the Apostle is telling us, not to be assimilated, not to be carried away with the cares of this age. All right, Ephesians 1 and 21. Ephesians 1 and 21 and 6 and 12. Ephesians 1 and 21. Are you over there, Penny? All right. That's all about the ages. Now we're seeing the difference of the ages. Now, Ephesians 6 and 12. Ephesians 6 and 12. Ephesians 6. Do you know that one, Bill? Yeah, it's talking about the armor of God there. 6 and 12. Steve, you want to have him read it there? Or you want...
6:12.
Yeah.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against angels and principalities and powers and might. Okay?
Of this age. Of this age. All right. They're in very much control of this age, aren't they? They're very running loose. The spirit world is as real as the physical world. tangible. The spirit world is just as tangible as the physical world. A lot of people, I don't care, there's a lot of Sadducees running around in the world today, people. They don't believe in the devil. They don't believe in demons. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in the angels. They don't believe in anything. Mainly the people that are running over there in Israel, much of Israel today, are Sadducees in their ways. Many of the Jews today are Sadducees in all reality. All right.
Somebody said, that's why they're sad, you see.
Yeah. Sad, you see. All dressed up when they bury him and no place to go. Yeah. 1 Peter 1 and 12, Matthew 13, 22, Galatians 1 and 4, 1 John 2, 15, Ephesians 4, 22 through 32, and 5, 1 through 7, and Titus 3 and 5, Ephesians 5, 10 and 17, and Colossians 1 and 9 were all cross-references to this verse. Let's go back and read it one more time. And not ye be conformed to the age this, but, strong adversative conjunction there, strong adversative conjunction, but be ye metamorphosized, that word metamorphosis, that means to change. When a butterfly, when a worm, a caterpillar, decides to go into a cocoon, he spins this cocoon around himself, and then he just kind of breaks out of there, and he's a completely different being. He turns into a beautiful butterfly. He was a worm or a caterpillar before. Now he turns into a butterfly and flies away. That's the term right here. That's what that really means. Metamorphuste. In the upknowing, the renewing of the nous. Remember we studied the different words for mind? Remember those words? Can you name some of them? One of them is nous.
Nous.
That's good. Boy, you got an A+ for that one. Nous, you got that one. What's another one? Our word knowledge comes from it is nome. Okay. Aphrain. Thelematos. The will. Okay. Different ones. We looked at these different ones. And Sophia. Remember? Sophia. Wisdom. All right. Of the mind for the to prove. This means to test. To assay. Like you assay gold or silver or whatever. You assay it. What ye the will, the thelema, also in the first chapter of Genesis, or not Genesis, but Ephesians, it tells us about the spiritual activating force of God. His will, his spiritual activating force. The will of the God, the good, and well-pleasing, and perfect, and mature. And let's read that one more time in the Amplified Bible. Penny, are you open to that in the Amplified right there? Yes. What's the word for good in Hebrew? This is a test. What's the word for good in Hebrew? It covers all good. It's tov. 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 Okay? There's a good, there's a word for good in Greek. It's kalos. Kalos. Kappa, alma, lima, omicron, sigma, kalos. But that is just good. This here is agathos, which is spiritually good. All right? Spiritually good. Very good. All right. 12 and verse 3. 12 and 3. Who can say this first word here? Lego. Who can decline this first word here? Present indicative active. Who can decline it? Present tense, indicative active. Who can decline this? Oase omenedi usiain. Oase omenedi usiain. Lego, leges, lege, legomen, legeni, legusi, legain. All right, there you go. That one, somebody's going to pop up and do that. Probably be Cindy over here. Oase omenedi usiain. Present indicative active. Lego. I say. Gar. dia, teis, caritos, teis, deltaises, moi, panti. What's this next one? To, onti. This is an easy one. And. What's the word in English? And. Oh, that's a really hard one. Him in. May. Hyperphronane. There's another word for the word mind. Frain. Right there. All right. Par. Huh. Day. Phronane. Look at the Apostle Paul playing with the words for mind. Hola. Phronane. Tase. To. So phronane. Hecosto. Hos. Ho. Theos. Amare. Sin. Metron. Pistios. It starts out with the little conjunctive or casual particle gar, page 75 in the Analytical Greek Lexicon. If you want to look it up in Robertson's great big grammar, it's on page 1190. I showed you that great big grammar. Yes, that's a big, thick grammar like this. For I say through are the spirit by activating force via through or by means of the grace mercy. All right, grace or mercy. Another word for that is also elios. Elios. That's another Greek word for mercy. Elios. Of the having been given to me. The grace or mercy having been given to me, that's the gift, right there, all right? Having been given to me, all the being, all right? That word being there is present, participle, active, dative, singular, masculine, all right? Being in, and it's also neuter. It'll go both ways. In ye, not. Look here, to overthink, hyperphronane, present infinitive active. Look at, I told you present infinitive, OSA, omenete, usi, ain, all right? Paul the Apostle is playing, he is a genius with playing with words, Greek words. He says, throwing this, we've got nous, we've got frame, all right? To be high-minded. To exaggerate our own deeds, okay? Beyond what it is bindingly necessary. Day. Comes from Deo. Alright? That means that it's third person singular present and personal active verb. Alright? It comes from Deo, which means bindingly necessary. Alright? Phronane. To think. Alright? To think. Let's go back for just a minute. See if I can find my words for mind. Nous is the faculties of perception and understanding, feeling, judging, determining, spiritual thing. Nome. That's gamma, nu, omega, mu. I try to keep it separated from the Hebrew. And then Ada. Nome. Nu. All right. And then we have Nome. Like that. And then Boule. These are different words for mind. These are different words from mind, okay? Nous is the faculties of perception and understanding, feeling, judging, determining, spiritual. Nome, the ability to discern the capacity of judgment as far as conduct is determined. I could give you scripture cross references to all of these, which maybe I did. That's 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, okay? And also over here in 12 and 3 in Romans. It determines the thought, but in nous, the opinion as a whole or the way of thinking and judgment is based upon a saved person, what he approaches, how he approaches the subject. Boule, the mental will or plan. Boule, the mental will or plan. Boule. Okay? And thelematos is closely related to this. This means the spiritual activating force. Thelematos. Okay? And then we have the word frame. The diaphragm or midriff of the mind, the intellect, the carnal understanding, common sense, horse sense. Sophia is the ability to use all the faculties of the mind, ace agathon, to the good, to bring about a noble or righteous act, the ability to turn circumstances around to bring forth the glory to God. Okay, that's Sophia. So there you have some of these words. Uh-huh. Thought I'd throw them at you just a little bit, because Paul is accentuating this, and if we just look over this, because some of you weren't here when I did this last time, were you? Okay. All right. To be over-minded, all right. To think, it's not even necessary to think, but to think, pronain. Unto the sophronane. Sophronane. Look at that word. Sober-minded. Sober-mindedness. All right? To be sober-minded. What does sober-minded mean? Have you ever seen anybody drunk? They really think they're smart. They really think they can do everything in the world. They have a lot of hyperphronane, don't they? But he tells us don't have hyperphronane, but to be sober-minded. Don't be like a drunk. A drunk is what they call, what's that term in Brother Randall? What kind of attitude does a drunk have? A 2.0, what is that?
3.2 wisdom.
3.2 wisdom, that's it. Alcohol, blood contact, 3.2 wisdom. Village idiots, in other words, they really think they're doing all the right. They think they can outdrive anybody else. They can do anything. They can play cards better than anybody. They're really geniuses when they get about 3.2. Okay? Don't be hyperphronane, but sophronane. Sober. Hekostos, or heskato, to each, as, just as, little adverbial error, page 444 in that analytical Greek lexicon. The God. What's the word for this word for God in Hebrew? What's this word for God in Hebrew? What is the equivalent of this in Hebrew? What? Elohim. Thank you. Elohim. Lotted out or divided, split and divided, merizo, third person singular, first aorist, indicative active, a measure, metron, of faith, a measure of faith. Romans 1 and 5, Romans 11, 20, 12, 16, 1 Corinthians 3 and 10, and 15, 10. I'm looking forward, if the Lord spares my life, to teach 1 Corinthians after I finish this one. Got to get through this first. Galatians 2:19, Ephesians 3 and 7, 1 Corinthians 4 and 7, and 7:17, and 2 Corinthians 10:13, and 1 Peter 4 and 11. 12 and verse 4. Kata per, gar, in a, Hene. All right. It's got an H on the front of it. Hene. All right. Somati. Pola. Mele. Hekelman. Ta. De. Mele. Panta. U. Te. Altain. Eke. Proxen. All right. That is a triple strong conjunctive adverb right here. It comes from kata, ha, and peri. Kata, ha, and peri. According to which things concerning? That's what it literally means. According to which things concerning? Four, according to which things concerning, in one. Body, many members. We have, but the members all not the same has our practices. Adverb of negation, that u there, come from uk. Before we had a particle of negation, the last verse was may. Okay, now we have an adverb which is even a stronger no. Sometimes, uk me uthamia, he'll say, no, no, not, one bit, nothing. All right? He said, all not the same has the action or practices. That word proxene comes from proso. Rebecca, could you read the last two verses for me? 12, 3 and verse 4 in that Amplify, please. So he's talking about basically a church body. And he said everybody in the church body has something to offer. All right? The foot, if you're all foot, you can't be all knees, you can't be all heads, can't be all feet. All right? We all have some place in a church to do and to work. All right. 12 and verse 5. All right? Someone must preach, someone must sing, someone must listen, someone must what? Play a piano or an organ, and someone must teach. All right? What's that first word there? Starts out with an H sound, doesn't it? Hutos. All right? Hoi, another H sound, another rough breather. Paloi. All right? Another H sound. Hen. And then soma. Soma. What is the word for flesh in Hebrew? Huh? What is it? Basar. Okay, body or flesh. All right, there's another word here for body also. It's sarx, it's flesh. But right here it's talking about the whole body. We talk about flesh, we're talking about what the body's made out of. It's made out of flesh and bone and blood and everything else. Soma is the whole body, okay? The body we have. So as the many one body we have, or we are, all right, in Christ. To de ka heis alelon mele. Hutos hoi poloi hen soma esmen en Christo to de ka heis alelon mele. So, actually it should be solely, because that is an adverb, that word, in this manner, thusly, or solely. That doesn't make good English, but it makes good Greek, okay? Solely or truly or thusly, in the many one body, we are in Christ. But the each one another members. All right? But individual members make up the one congregation. All right? One body, one congregation. Going into another little thing here, because we're talking about this one body of believers. Baptists had particular practices all down through the ages. There are two local church ordinances. What are they? Baptism of the Lord Church, Supper. Now, how many of you know what open communion is, close communion, and closed communion? Brother Bill?
Open communion is where anybody's invited.
Okay.
Someone just said, what we do?
Close communion?
Close communion is where would be the church.
The members of that church. And what is closed communion?
Closed would probably be the higher up, like the pastor or
That's Catholics. Closed communion. You have to be a member of that church. Many churches that practice open communion just come here and you pray. You can just take communion with us whenever we go. Whenever we take it. That's what you call open communion. Closed communion, at one time, all churches, this is ancient churches, if you go back to the first century, all churches by practice are Baptist, okay? Baptist churches at one time had one cup that represented the one cup of the Lord's. The Lord's Supper or communion came from what Jewish festival? What? What? The Passover. All right. Now, the Passover, they would, in each house, each family took the Passover dinner. They didn't share it between each other. Each family brought it. The smaller family brought them in. But it was a family, one single family thing. Okay? Now, I know many people think that the church was started on the day of Pentecost, but the church was already called out. The church already had baptism. The church already had taken the Lord's Supper and everything before Pentecost. Okay? Had officers in it. Had a limited commission even before that. But all of the early Baptist churches practiced close communion. I didn't say closed, I said close communion. All Southern Baptist churches until about 1950, sometimes 70, 80, even 90, practiced close communion. Close communion. That's where members of that body took the Lord's Supper, only if you're a member of this body. Because this body does not have any discipline over anybody else's church members. Okay? So, everybody within this communion, this body of believers, this single, local, visible church, that's what they called close communion. There was one other thing. We're talking about one body. That's why we're talking about one body. Originally, now we know that that the Jews have their unleavened bread, don't they? The bread that they used there at the Passover, this bread that they took, and they took Elijah's bread probably. Okay, this was at the end of the meal, and they broke it. And it was one piece of bread. And the one piece of bread represents what? The body of who? Body of Christ. And each church represents what? The local body of Christ. And they had one loaf, and they broke it up. And I remember here, even like 10 or 15 years ago, a brother, Roger, would get out and he'd take the loaf and he would break the loaf all up in little bitty pieces, and they hand out this one loaf, this one loaf of bread, this one piece of unleavened bread, and they broke it up. Now, one thing about the Jews, how many of you ever seen that Jewish unleavened bread? What's it look like? It's flat bread. What else? What else about it makes it funny? Different. We get our crackers, saltine crackers. There's something about saltine crackers. There's something about all of these, what's the little round crackers? Ritz crackers. All of these crackers have something that relates back to the Jewish crackers.
They don't rise.
No. That's not it.
They don't yeast it.
That's not it. No, that's not it either. What? What is that, young lady? They have holes poked in them. That hole's poked in them. What do you think that hole's poked into that ancient bread meant?
It's
holy. What did the bread represent? What was it going to represent? The pierced Messiah. All right, the bread is pierced. All your crackers are pierced because it goes back to that, the pierced Messiah. Okay? Well, anyway, they would break up the one piece of bread, and that body of believers would take it, and they would all drink out of the same cup originally, and then they started sending little cups around, you know, the little bitty cups that you have in communion. But it came from one bottle. All right, that's what it represented, one cup, one body. At one time, and of course, Baptist churches were very small, but everybody would come up, and they would drink out of the same cup, and they would take a piece of that broken from one loaf of bread, that one piece of broken bread, which represented the Lord and the church as one body. Okay, so I thought I'd just throw that in for good measure. Did you like that? Did you learn something?
No.
Okay.
When you add the deon, what is that?
What?
When you add the deon, closed.
Oh, the closed. That's the Catholic Church. A Catholic, the Lutherans, you've got to go through their catechism and go there. You can't go in there. You're not going to go into a Catholic church or some funeral when they have high mass. You're not going to take the Lord's Supper with them. That communion, because you're not a Catholic, you haven't gone through the. That's what you call closed communion.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
There's still a lot of Christian churches today that practice that.
Close communion?
Yeah. Closed communion.
Many Baptists still practice close communion today. Now, many people I know, all Southern Baptist churches at one time practiced close communion, and when somebody would come to that church and they'd come in there and they were going to have the Lord's Supper, and they said, "Well, you're not invited to the supper. This is for this church only." Mm-hmm. And they got all excited and said, "You're practicing closed communion." They weren't practicing closed communion. They were practicing close communion. All right? Let's go on. 12 and verse 6. 12 and verse 6. Anybody say that word? It starts out with a smooth breather, doesn't it? Not a rough breather. How is that one? Ekontes. They. Charismata, kata, tain, karin, tain, dotheison, hemon. See the rough breather? There's hemon and hemon. All right, two different ones. There's hemon is us, and humon is humans. All right? Diaphora. Ate. Prophetaon, kata, tain, analogion, tais, pistios. Romans 12 and 3, 1 Corinthians 7:7, 12:4 and 12:10, 1 Peter 4 and 10, Acts 13 and 1, and 1 Corinthians 12 and 10, cross-reference to this one. But having gifts, charismata. But having gifts according to the grace, the having been freely given, all right, that this is 1st aorist, participle active, feminine singular, all right. To us, differing, diaphora. Diaphora, through bearing. Dia and phora, through bearing. Whether prophetion, what is prophetion? What is prophetion? Our word right comes right out in English.
Prophecy.
What does prophecy mean?
Speaking for God.
All right, no, hold on just a minute. What does it literally mean? Prophetio. Pro means what?
Before.
Before. To say something before. When we, in this classroom, a couple of years ago, I guess, I taught the first 11 chapters of Genesis. The first 11 chapters of Genesis are absolutely saturated with prophecy. How many of you have taken those? It's this full of prophecy. Tremendous. It tells the whole history, the future history of the human race. all the personalities of the nations that shall arise. All nations have personalities. And that's what we call prophecy, to say before. I'm going to tell you something. In those first chapters, the first 11 chapters of Genesis, it tells everything that would happen on this whole realm, didn't it? Cindy, did you get a kick out of that? The first 41 classes? You can go on the website, discovertheword.com or Sermon Audio, and if you go and look at the Genesis classes, go study the first 41 classes in Genesis. You will be blown away by the prophecy that is in those first 41 classes. Unbelievable. It tells and foretells the whole history of the world. People, when they talk about eschatology, what does that mean? The study of last things. When they talk about eschatology, they talk about prophecy, don't they? The book of Daniel is full of prophecy. The book of Ezekiel is full of prophecy. The little book of Joel, Malachi, there's a lot of just prophetic places in the Bible just through it. Psalms. There's a tremendous amount of prophecy in the Psalms. Psalm 22. Eli Eli lama sabachthani. All right? Psalm 22 and verse 1 is what Jesus spoke on the cross. And when he spoke Genesis 22 and verse 1, and also they even did it in Aramaic, Eloi Eloi lama sabachthani. All right? It sounds almost the same. One's Arabic, Aramaic, and one of them's Hebrew. We have it quoted in both ways in the Bible, in the New Testament. When he spoke that, he meant the whole 22nd Psalm should have been read. What does the 22nd Psalm talk about? The crucifixion of the Messiah, and the Messiah King was being crucified right there. Isaiah 53 talks about the Messiah. Yeah. Isaiah 53. That's prophecy. There were how many church gifts to begin with? Quite a few, I wonder. Why were they necessary?
What was
the spiritual gift? Yeah, the spiritual gift. About 13 or 14 gifts, if you want to count them all. Okay, I wrote my master's thesis on that. On 1 Corinthians. Remember about all of these church gifts. Now, today, how many gifts do we have? How many gifts do we have today? Faith, hope, and love. Is there a gift of prophecy today?
Yes.
Not really.
Well, no,
not the gift of prophecy.
Yeah. Speaking for God.
Yeah.
For instance,
yeah, but we're talking about speaking forth like preaching is different than prophecy, the gift of prophecy. Let's go on. Okay. There was the gift of languages. There was a gift of prophecy. Why were all these things important? What did they have as the Bible at that moment? Old Testament only. They didn't have any of the hey kind of idea thinking. No New Testament. It didn't exist yet. What we're studying today is part of the New Testament. It's like a miniature Bible in the book of Romans. But they didn't have it. So they needed that. Why? For instance, today, is there a gift of pastors?
Yes.
Not really. Pastors. Think about that for a minute. What about back then, the gift of pastors? Okay, what about the gift of pastors back then? If you, at church, who called the pastor at that time? Who called the pastors? Back then. God did. Were they inspired to get up and speak the message that they spoken? Yeah, they were. They were inspired. Everything was inspired. How about evangelists? We have people that are evangelists today, but we really don't have the gift of evangelism. We don't have the gift of pastors. Now what God does is He calls pastors. He calls evangelists. He calls deacons. Back then they had the gift of deacons. There's a gift. Between the gift and the calling is different. Today we have the callings. Then they had the gift. There's a whole lot of difference between the gift and the calling. When you For instance, when you're going to become a teacher, do you just stand up and teach? I mean, there's churches that say, just stand up, God will fill your mouth. There's a whole lot of empty mouths that stood up. I can tell you that much. If you want to teach something, you better do some learning. You better do some studying. Rebecca, you're a teacher. Cindy, you're a teacher. Did this turn you loose on the public? Or did you go train?
You don't want me to answer. I think I could have taught without having an education.
Yeah.
I'm just a teacher.
Yes.
So education didn't make me a better teacher.
You had an aptitude for it.
Yeah, exactly.
You had a calling for it.
Yeah, but they made me. Mm-hmm.
You qualified. You qualified. You study as a teacher. You study as a pastor. A church is called pastors today. God calls pastors to pastor. God calls teachers to teach. He calls them to teach. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, when you have a look at spiritual gifts,
mm-hmm.
first of all, they're a gift of men, called by God.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were serving, speaking gifts,
mm-hmm.
there were serving gifts, there were sign gifts,
mm-hmm. miracles.
Miracles.
Yeah, miracles.
And when you have a look,
when we get into 1 Corinthians, we're going to just go into every one of them.
The miracles are called in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 12, that called the marks of an apostle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think that miracle, the gift of miracles is available today?
No.
We know God works miracles.
God works miracles today, but the gift of miracles is not here. Does God ever save somebody from the dead almost? They should have died? Sure. Does he? You pray for people? All right. But God, in the Apostle Paul's time, the marks of an apostle was the power to do these things. We don't have apostles today, do we? No. Now the Catholic Church does. The Mormon Church does. Yeah, they got them. I mean, they name them, but they don't really have them. Apostles. The Apostle Paul was an apostle. Who was the last apostle alive, as far as we know?
John.
Let me tell you something just a little bit. If you're going to go like in 1 Corinthians, the 13th and 14th chapter, it says when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be... Actually, what it says is it will cease for itself. Just like a washing machine. Just like a dryer. When you turn the thing on, it goes through a cycle and zip, it's shut off. When John penned the last word in the book of Revelation, he ceased being an apostle. It's done. Just like that. Done. The book was completed. Didn't need it anymore. Did they still look at him as an apostle until he died? Yeah. But the gift of it was gone. Bill.
Jim, I'd like to say what I've learned is the calling and the gift of a pastor and the gift of a preacher are two different callings, two different gifts. Just because you're called to be a preacher don't mean you're a pastor. There's a difference between a pastor and a preacher, and that's two different gifts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's two different callings. Today we have callings. Back then they had gifts. I want you to understand the gift, the charismata, the gift and the calling is different today. The calling and the gifts. God does a lot of things today that he did back then. But the gifts were different. That is a gift. Today it's a calling. And then you prepare. Boy, I wouldn't have gone to school all those years if I didn't think I'd... You could just stand there and... They were inspired. Those preachers were inspired. We have, in 7th chapter, we have a sermon that was inspired through Stephen. We have Acts, the 2nd chapter, we have part of a sermon there that's preached by Peter. These are inspired messages. And all of this book, every word, every tense mode and voice in the book of Romans is inspired of God. You can get up and preach all you want to today. You can quote it all, and whatever you quote is inspired. But the rest of it's on you. Don.
I heard a message, actually Pastor Roger, he had spoke about, he believed that when you are born again, that you receive a spiritual gift.
Yes.
You receive a spiritual calling. Yeah. There's something... When you're saved, God's got a place for you in that body, in that melee. soma, different bodies, different bodies.
The apostles, though, did go to school for like 3 years. I mean, they were called.
Paul, by
Jesus.
And then he taught them for 3 years. Yes, they were with him. They one of the reasons why they were with him is they witnessed all the miracles. You have to realize that they witnessed the miracles. Why did Jesus do any miracles? Why did he do any miracle? Why did he do every miracle?
Well, Nicodemus answers that in John 3. He says, we know
that you are a teacher come from God. He was not a teacher come from God, was he?
Pardon?
He wasn't a teacher come from God. They call him Enoch or teacher, but what was he?
The opposite.
He was the Messiah.
Yes. But the opposite thing, he was from God.
Yeah. He was the Messiah. The Messiah. These were messianic credentials. And the apostles were proving that they knew the Messiah, and they are receiving the Word of God which we have today. This is very important. The Word of God is extremely important. We have it. We have the complete mind of God written down. Isn't that beautiful? We don't have to guess about it. American Indians used to go out, some of them go and bury themselves in a pit and stay there until they received the revelation. They would go without eating. They would pray. They would go to the sun dance. All these things to get a revelation. We already had the revelation. We already had the revelation. The revelation is here. And I mean it is firm. It is concrete. It's written in stone. It is concrete. We have the complete will of God. We'll quit at 12 and 6.
One more thing that bothered me when you're talking about gifts. I don't know if Ken called to be a preacher as a gift or a curse, but when I see some congregation due to a preacher, I would almost call it a curse. Because the backstabbing, backbiting that goes on, you know, and the preacher put up with it, I don't know how they do it.
It's grace. It's grace, Bill. All right. We'll start at 12 and 6 next week. 12 and, or 12 7, isn't it? 12 7. All right. And this is 12 15? 14? 14? Okay. 12 14 11. Thank you for putting up with me tonight. Thank you for enduring those hard seats. I hope you learned something from God's Word. Brother Steve, it's good to have you back in the class. We missed you. We knew you were here all the time. Tonight, I was going to have the whole class say, "Hi, Steve!" Because we knew you were listening out there. You're right up with all of us, aren't you? All right. Well, go out and do something eternal. If you want to, I still have pecans out there, and that's about all, pecans and some grapes if you want to come and get some out there. We've got plenty of them. I hate to see them go to waste. And Sunday we're having our potluck here. Remember that. And Brother Steve, would you dismiss us in prayer tonight? We got this to be all right. Can you talk that?
Yeah.
All right.